Matthew chapter 28. Again, the reading was from Mark, Luke, and John. And now we're going to read from Matthew. Matthew 28, and we're going to read 17 verses of this text this morning. Matthew chapter 28, beginning to read with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go and tell my brethren that they go into Jerusalem, and there shall they see me. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away, while we slept. And if this come unto the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word today. Thank you for all the specials. Thank you, Father, for all the folks that have come to hear your word today. Please just touch every heart today, Father. If, Father, those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that today they will come to know you, realizing that there is no life with you being absent, Father. We must trust in you. We must believe in you. And then, Father, the joy of following you. So please, today, that those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, Father, those that are here that do know you, maybe they need to return and come back and get back into fellowship with you. Father, maybe we just need to grow. We need to be more serious about your work. The time is very short. We know, Father, that you're coming. Your return is soon, and we must be prepared. And so please, dear Father, just touch every heart, apply every heart today. And again, I just thank you for all that have come to hear your word today. Please bless them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to begin in Matthew, but in just a little bit we're going to go back to the Gospel of John and spend the rest of the morning in the Gospel of John, so we'll be prepared for that. As we look at these verses of Scripture, it tells us in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Mark 16:3, and they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? It is so sad because the Gospels all tell us that they arrived at the grave, and for such a great day, resurrection day, Jesus is alive. Jesus is out of the grave, and yet there wasn't a one that believed it. Not a one. They were taught, they were told, but they did not believe in the resurrection. Psalm 16:10 was told in early days. Psalms 110 verse 1 clearly speaks it again. But Jesus himself taught these people, these disciples, clearly, after 3 days, I will be raised again. Now, we're going to look at those verses of Scripture, because if you don't believe in the resurrection, you have no life. Let's go back to Matthew. We're going to stay in Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. So take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 16 with me, and we're going to read verse 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the chief elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. What part of that is difficult to understand? What's difficult about those words? Let's go to chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the hands of men. They shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceedingly sorry. That should excite them. The third day, raised again. Go to chapter 20, verse 19. Jesus himself speaking here, Matthew 20, 19, as was the last. "And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Rise again. Chapter 26, verse 32. "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." What's difficult about those words? They weren't hidden words. They weren't prophesied by someone else back 300, 400, 500 years ago, although we knew that he was going to be raised from the dead. But Jesus himself spoke over and over and over again. He taught them about how he was going to be beaten. He talked to them how that he was going to be crucified. He taught them how he was going to be buried. He taught them how he was going to be raised from the dead. What's difficult about that? What's hard to see? Why didn't anyone believe? No one questioned Jesus' death. But his resurrection. Were these folks just like we are? We get half the story. We listen to what we understand. But when it goes beyond something we can't comprehend, we stop listening. Listening is very important. It's always important to listen. And our Lord here told his disciples over and over and over again what was going to take place. You would have thought surely that one of them, just one, would have said, "Don't you remember his words? Yes, he has been brutally beaten and crucified. What an awful death. But remember his words?" And show up to that tomb the next morning knowing it was going to be empty? Not a one. Not a one. Romans helps us to understand. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. How important is the resurrection? The resurrection's everything. If he not be raised from the dead, his death is in vain. He is raised from the dead. They came only for one purpose, was to prepare the body for its final resting. Nobody remembered that he was alive. And I'm afraid sometimes that when we come to worship and we come to praise our God, do we really remember that he is seated at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for us? Do we know he's alive? Do we know he's going to come back and get us? Do we really live thinking about those things? Back to Matthew 28, verse 2. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Luke chapter 24 tells us, why seek ye the living among the dead? We were just talking downstairs about the funeral message, and the shortest funeral message that I have ever attended at the cemetery was that. The man was saved. We went out to the cemetery. His son preached the funeral. His son stood there, and he got everybody, a good crowd, went to the cemetery, and he waited till everybody kind of settled in, and he says, why seek ye the living among the dead? And he closed his book, and that was it. Good question. I've used it every time with every funeral, whenever the person's born again, when they're saved. You know, why are we here? Why are we at the grave? Why seek ye the living among the dead? The angel, Scripture tells us here, rolled the stone away, opened the tomb so that they could see in. It was not, and please understand, the stone was not moved by the angel so Jesus could get out. It was so that we could see in, that the tomb was empty. What a glorious day. What a day. These women especially, Peter and John too, were excited about that morning. In some respects, they showed up early in the morning. They wanted to finish it. They loved their Lord. They loved the Lord Jesus. But they just didn't think he could raise from the dead. Why not? Number one, he told them repeatedly. Number two, he'd raised the dead. They had watched him raise the dead. But you know, when we get something in our mind, and that's the reason today that there's so many false doctrines out there concerning that once you trust in Jesus, you're eternally his. He keeps you. What's so difficult about knowing that and trusting in that? It's because it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense for somebody to come out of the grave. And so sometimes things that don't make sense, we just don't want to believe. And so we either cloud it with other excuses. We just don't want to believe. Did you notice the difference between those that were saved and those that believed and were saved and those that didn't believe? Did you notice the response between the two at the tomb? For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men when they saw the angels. But what words were given to those that believed? Fear not. So those that did not believe were scared literally to death and were put unconscious by their fear. But those that are saved, I know that ye seek Jesus. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. You see the difference? How important is it to believe? It's everything. It is everything. He's not here. He's risen. Come and see. Come and see. Proof. And then after you come and see, go and tell. Verse 20, verse 7 says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. And lo, I have told you. So not only come and see, but then go and tell. It's the greatest news we have. The greatest news. Let's now go to John chapter 20, and we'll stay there for the rest of the day. I mean, till 5, 6 o'clock tonight. And then Bible study will start at 6. John chapter 20. We've got several verses of Scripture here that we're going to be covering. And first of all, I'm just going to begin reading with the first verse and read down through verse 10, and then we'll begin to kind of take this apart. And the reason that I have jumped to John is because some things that Matthew did not record, John does, and we want to take a look at it. And so, John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, up unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. We learned how that happened back in Matthew. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, and we were recorded what Mary did when it said, you know, come and see, go and tell. And so she is. She's going and telling. And so she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved. And we know that's John. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. And cometh Simon Peter, followed him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And the disciples went away again unto their own houses. Now, Mary was told to come and see, and then she was told to go and tell, and she did just that. She runs into Peter and John. Well, they both take off running to the tomb. John is just a young man, really just a boy. Peter's older. John outruns Peter. But John gets there first. He doesn't go in. He looks in. He sees something that he just can't hardly believe. He sees this cloth lying there. And then here comes Peter. Now, Peter doesn't stop. Perpetuous Peter. Peter doesn't stop. Peter runs right into the tomb. And he sees the same thing. Then John follows. And so now that they're inside the tomb, and they really begin to witness what has happened here. And when you think about the grave cloths, the women witnessed not only the wrapping of the body, but the placing of the body. They knew exactly where this body was placed. And so now, as they look into this tomb and they see these grave cloths, and it was just as if the body had slipped out of it. They weren't taken off and wadded up in a corner. It was just as if Jesus left. It was just as easy for Jesus to leave these old grave cloths back as it was for him to get out of that tomb without rolling the stone away. Jesus is alive. Also, they noticed as they looked at the napkin, it was wrapped in a perfect manner, laid separately. Now, the story that went on back to the Jews and then to all the lost world, they stole the body away. Well, I guarantee you, a thief would not take time to unwrap the body and then try to form it back up somehow so it was laid perfectly, just like the body was there, except for the cavity was empty now. They would have stolen the body. They'd have taken it all. They would not have taken time. But you see, a lie is a lie. And so once you get started, and it's the same thing today with religion. So how can somebody believe that? You begin to change the Word of God, there's no end. The world would much rather believe a lie than the truth. But Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Look at verse 9 of John chapter 20. We're going to stay in John. And as yet they knew not the Scripture. They knew not God's Word. You know, we say, knew not the Scripture. We think, well, they should have went back and studied this. Jesus told them. Jesus repeatedly said to them, I'm going to be mocked, I'm going to be scourged, I'm going to be crucified, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise from the dead. Not a one caught it. Not a one caught it. Let's not be that kind of believers. Let's hear the Word of God. Let's know it. Let's enjoy it. Mary knew where he was laid. If we look down to the 11th and 12th verse now, and Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. She followed them as she wept. She stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And Mary knew, again, exactly how they laid that because she witnessed it. She watched them lay the body of the Lord Jesus. Still, why was she crying? We know as we continue through this that she believes that somebody has stolen the body away. Where have you taken him? The Scripture is going to tell us in just a little bit. She didn't believe either. She does not believe that the Lord had returned from the dead. She was crying because she didn't believe. Come down with me to verse 15. Jesus said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? 13 and 14, let's read that so we can get the concept of what's going on. They said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Why didn't Mary believe? She saw the angels. She saw the grave cloths. She listened to Jesus tell her repeatedly, I'm going to raise from the dead 3 days later. It's the third day. Why? Even all this evidence. And Jesus standing behind her and thinking that's the gardener. Whatever you've done with him, tell me, because I will go take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And that's all it took. Why didn't she know him before? Why didn't she recognize him before? Because she don't believe in the resurrection. Can't be him. It can't be him. You want life? And you trust in Jesus today. Believe. And you'll have life. And you won't question that he's alive. You won't question it. I saw a little note in an email this week, but pretty well proves that Darwin didn't know what he was talking about, because to this day fish don't walk and Jesus is alive. I thought that was good. Fish don't walk and Jesus is alive. Mary loved him so. Loved him so. Wanted to care for him, wanted to protect him, and yet still she did not believe that he was risen from the dead. But when he said, Mary, isn't it wonderful? Jesus didn't go to the kings of the world to proclaim first, I'm alive. Didn't go to the priest, to the high priest, and says, here, I'm alive. He came to a believer and spoke to her. He tells us here in the 17th verse, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go unto my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples. What a glorious day it was for Mary. She finally believed. She finally believed. As we look at this first day of the week, it would be the 18th day of Nisan. 14th day he was crucified. 15th through 17th day he was laid in the grave. And the 18th day is the first day of the week he was raised from the dead. Jesus, the first fruits of the resurrection. The first fruits of the resurrection. The first day of the week, Sunday, after the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, Saturday. We have just finished the Passover week. Now, when we look at the Passover week, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I don't know if you're real familiar with the study back in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23 gives us a complete picture of God's plan. And it starts with the death, burial, and resurrection. The Passover lamb was killed. Then next feast was almost immediate, and we find that on the first day of the week, the 18th day of Nisan. And on that day was the feast of the first fruits. The barley harvest was underway, and God wants the first fruits of the barley harvest. Jesus himself is the first fruits. He is our high priest. Jesus needs to complete the law. He's going to take his blood back to his Father and put it in the Holy of Holies forever to be there. That's the reason in this scripture it says, "Don't touch me, Mary, I've not ascended my Father yet." Back in Matthew, they touched him. He had already completed this work. "Again, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Go, take the wave offering," is what he was to do. I hope that you know the scripture. Because, again, back in Leviticus 23, we have the Passover or the unleavened bread. Next, we have the Feast of the First Fruits, which is the resurrection. Next event that we're waiting for here is the day of Pentecost, which is 49 plus 1 days. Now, when the Lord Jesus ascended, he had been here 40 days. He tells his disciples, "Go and wait until I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit," the birth of the church. You always wonder how many days, just 10 days. Jesus ascended on the 40th day, and on the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came down. That's day 50. See, all this is back in Leviticus chapter 23. So now we have the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread went on the same time. That's the crucifixion and the burial. Next is the Feast of the First Fruits. The Feast of the First Fruits we see to be his resurrection. Next is Pentecost, the birth of the church. Okay, now we're current. Because we're still in the birth of the, we're still in the time of the church age. What's coming next? What's coming next? Coming next is the rapture, which is the Feast of Trumpets. Next is coming the Day of Atonement, which is the tribulation period. Next is coming the Feast of the Tabernacle, which is the millennial reign of Christ. All placed in the feasts, every one of them. Go back to Leviticus chapter 23 and read about those feasts. You think, well, that's just to the Jews. That's just to Israel. Well, it was something they had, and it was something that was continued until the birth and the death of Jesus Christ. Then it was completed. Right now we're in the church age, and we are in past the Feast of the First Fruits. The day of Pentecost has arrived. The Holy Spirit is here, will be here until the rapture of the church, the Feast of Trumpets. Then the church will be raptured, and immediately following that is the Day of Atonement. And that is going to be the 7 years of tribulation. Closing that will be the Feast of the Tabernacle. And that will be for 1,000 years. Plans already there. Plans there. The first fruits of the resurrection. Proof, without a question of the doubt, Jesus is alive. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." As we look at these verses of Scripture, verse 19 says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you." Before this, Mary Magdalene got to see him. Peter got to see him. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus witnessed he's alive. Jesus is alive. And yet still the bulk of the disciples, even though they have these witnesses and testimonies, still don't believe in the resurrection. Still don't believe in the resurrection. Luke chapter 24, verse 25, "O fools and slow of heart to believe that all what all the prophets have spoken." Isn't it something? The one that was probably the worst off, and that was Mary Magdalene with the seven devils, the seven demons. She was the first to see Jesus. That's our Lord. Thomas still doesn't believe. How about you? How about you? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How important is it? As I said earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, read from verse 12 to 20, but verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Come back tonight, and we'll talk about Doubting Thomas. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and speak about the resurrection. But with the world around us, being a part of the world, it's so easy to either not believe or just forget about the resurrection. It's not so important. Father, it's everything. It's just as important as you being dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. It's the complete work of salvation. Not only has taken our sins away, but it's given us life. And so, Father, for those that maybe trusted in you and aren't serving you, they're miserable. They've forgotten what life is. Show them today. Those that do not know you as their Savior, they just refuse to believe. Just convict their hearts and show them who they are and who you are. That you've come to seek and to save those that are lost. And that they would believe today. And Father, on this day that we celebrate as Resurrection Sunday, I just ask you that you will just instill in the hearts of all believers here the joy and the excitement that that resurrection, what that means to us. It means life, real life. Thank you, Father. Please touch every heart today and just guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.